another edition of Ramstock Radio. I'm Steve Rivera, once again joined by Derek Ciapalla. Training camp has finally begun. The preseason's about to be underway. How you feeling about it?
Injuries are concerning me already. It was a pretty healthy year last year. Now all of a sudden, it's not looking so hot.
Yeah. So far we've seen, Lance Dunbar, Tavon Austin have gone down a little bit, and the biggest was Dominic Easley going down on the defensive line. So what do you think we can expect in terms of replacing Easley?
A train wreck? we have some players on the roster that I think can fill in spot duty. You know, Ethan Westbrooks can come in there and make some plays here and there. But I'm not very confident in what used to be this team's strength now looking like, it can make some damage without Easley in there. Easley had a solid year last year and had earned a starting spot. So now all of a sudden you lose him. You've traded away William Hayes. You've let go of our Mr. Eugene Sims. And all of a sudden, back behind them, I'm not confident in Matt Longacre. I'm not confident in all these guys that are coming up now. So I would expect the Rams to be looking at the waiver wire, looking at the cuts as they start to happen, and trying to find some depth to make up for this. That said, Aaron Donald's got to get in camp.
Just before we get to Donald, I don't think Westbrook's is too big of a drop in talent from Easley. I definitely think Easley's a better player, but, I think they would probably be a little interchangeable if they were both healthy as the year goes on. But, yeah, like you said, looking at the depth chart, the guy like Louis Trinka-Passat, Mike Purcell, Matt Longacre, a lot of undrafted free agents on the backup D-line, these guys are unproven. And, when last year our backups were Eugene Sims, Dominic Easley, Ethan Westbrooks, we were just talking about all those guys would be starters right now. And it's just kind of crazy how the depth goes. But, yeah, so Aaron Donald, this has been kind of blowing my mind because, what are they going to do, not pay him? They need to give him all the money they possibly can. I don't get why there's still a situation here.
Well, here's the thing. I actually disagree with you a little bit here on the value of Dominic Easley, okay? Dominic Easley's brought in as an injury-riddled free agent. The Patriots gave up on him. He comes in there and does a wonderful job filling in spots, earning a starting job. That's something Ethan Westbrooks didn't do. So you're kind of you're talking about interchanging them, and if that was the case, we would have seen Ethan Westbrook earning a starting spot, earning himself more of a role in the rotation. He hasn't. So I think you're underestimating the value that Dominic Easley brings. And then you take Aaron Donald. What the heck are the Rams doing? The Rams are just letting this thing go? No, get him in camp. Pay the man. Because if you don't, this causes problems later on. This is how you lose players. When you're not willing to pay them, when you're not willing to show them how valuable they really are to your team, eventually they just get tired of you and leave. We've seen it over and over again in the NFL. They take it as a sign of respect. This guy might be the best defensive player in the league. He might be. He probably is. At the very least, I would say he's the best interior lineman in the league. And you're not wanting to pay him? I get it. He's got 2 years left in this contract. The old school view is you pay them, as you renew. But you know what? He's well worth the money. He's a stabilizer. He's the guy you build your defense around right now. Pay him. Get him in camp.
Yeah, I agree. And to a lesser extent, we saw it with Tremaine Johnson last offseason and this offseason. And he's unlikely to come back next year. And he's half the player that Aaron Donald is. Like you said, he's pretty much undoubtedly a top five defensive player, I'd say, at this point. And when you have one of those guys, when you have a J.J. Watt, a Von Miller type, that's what Aaron Donald is. He could single-handedly change the course of a ball game, and it's very rare when you get guys that can do that aren't quarterbacks. You have to give him the money, and yeah, he's got 2 years left on his contract, but you want to keep this guy as happy and as pleasant as could be possible. And Michael Brockers came out this week and said that the holdout's killing him. And I'm sure it is. You know, I've been watching the Rams on All or Nothing the past couple days. You could tell when this guy is in season mode. He thinks about nothing but football. And I'm happy for it because it's definitely been working for him. But when he's at home, you know, mentally it's probably not great for him in terms of his relationship with the team. He knows what he's worth. We know what he's worth. The longer it takes for us to pay him, the more strained the relationship's going to be. And if there is one player on the team I don't want to have a strained relationship with, it's definitely Aaron Donald.
Well, and also think, last week we talked about this whole battle for L.A., you know, where, you know, the Raiders are in the mix, the Chargers are in the mix here, and now you have the Rams who really kind of blew it their first year. Now you have a guy who's basically the face of your team, at the very least on the defense, and maybe overall, depending on what Jared Goff does this year, what Todd Gurley does. Okay, so this guy could be a perfect representative for you in this new old hometown. Okay, and what do? You let this whole thing linger. Okay, it's time for the Rams to stop being the Rams that lost, you know, double-digit games. It has lost double-digit games for almost the last 15 years, okay? It's time for that to end. It's time for them to be a big-league team here and make it happen. If they want to go out there and win games and win over this city, they need to act like they are an L.A. team, a big-league team here.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at the depth chart without Aaron Donald in it, it is... It's sad to look at the D-line in a way. And, you know, right now they have Louis Trinka-Passat tapped in as a defensive tackle. You know, with Easley out now, you need to pay this man. You need to get him back in camp so we could get real looks when we're practicing in the preseason, because that's what it's for. And like you said, he's the face of the franchise. Out of all the three teams fighting for L.A., he's probably the best player on any of them. You know, Khalil Mack, maybe, but I would still take Donald over him. Phillip Rivers might have more star power than either of them, but it's still, Aaron Donald is the best player in the town. And you got to pay this guy. You need this team to come out hot this year, and you need him to be fresh for the season. He needs to be in camp, he needs to be playing, and he needs to be paid.
Yeah, on the flip side, if we're going to play devil's advocate too, we can't forget that, you know, if you talk to some of these veterans over the course of years, the most of them really, really just hate training camp. And, it's a bunch of the old. And so if we hear someone making that argument, well, you know, these veterans don't really, you know, are used to it. They're better able to make it up. And most teams don't worry about it. In this case, I would disagree with that. You're going from a 4-3 to this modified 4-3/3-4. You're going to a wholly different scheme. You're moving Robert Quinn out to the outside of the linebacker. You know, you have to really kind of work this defense together. It's not the same old, same old. So getting him in there, it makes sense on so many different levels. But I think there's something we're missing here, and that's Trumaine Johnson. I'm wondering if the Rams are hesitant to really work this contract out right now because they're kind of wondering what they're going to do with him. I don't think Jermaine came out this week and said, you know, I think the Rams are moving on. I'm not so sure they're going to move on. If he comes through with an all-pro year, you know, how do the Rams justify letting go of another number one corner? Because, you know, Jenkins and so on and so forth. You know, and I think that's something to think about. Maybe they're thinking, okay, well, we got to make sure we have this amount of money for Donald and potentially this amount of money for Johnson. And that may be something where they are looking to, you know, maybe be a little hesitant. That's the only thing I can think of to justify why on earth they just haven't paid him yet.
Yeah, and I get that to an extent. But to be fair, you know, my thoughts, that bridge with Johnson is kind of burned. And, you know, if he does have an all-pro year, obviously money talks. And if they can pay him, they will. But B, if anything with Trumaine Johnson is going to affect how much they pay Aaron Donald, I would rather let him walk because, you know, you rank, like you said, you rank the interior lineman in the league. Aaron Donald's number one. If you rank cornerbacks in the league, it's hard to think about where Johnson would fall. A, because there's maybe a little more depth, and B, because he's just not as good as some of the top tier guys. Definitely one of the better corners, but Aaron Donald brings a lot more value to his position and to the defense than Johnson does. I would much rather just sink the money to him now and worry about Tremaine Johnson later.
Wait. Why do you say the relationship between Johnson and the Rams is burned?
Well, he's wanted to get a long-term contract. I mean, and they franchised him 2 years in a row, which means they're not committed to paying him what he thinks he's worth.
Yeah, but they're also paying him as a top corner in the league in those 2 years.
That's true, but I think franchising a player for a second year in a row, you know, they're happy with the money, but at the same time, you know, I don't think Kirk Cousins is thrilled that he's been franchised 2 years in a row.
Well, that's a different situation, though. Kirk Cousins wants out of Washington. I don't think it's a given that Tremaine Johnson wants out of L.A.
No, that's fair. I don't know. It just seems like the whole situation of the last years has just seemed weird to me. It doesn't seem like either side has been wanting to commit full time. And, you know, if one of these cornerbacks on our roster breaks out this year, Gaines or Webster, if they really have a good season, even if Johnson has a good year, they're probably going to find him a bit expendable because, you know, that's how they've been with defensive backs over the last couple of years.
I understand that. I mean, I can go with that, but let's try this. Okay, we're looking. I think we're mainly looking at it from a perspective of Tremaine Johnson. Okay, let's look at it from the Rams' perspective. They chose him over Janoris Jenkins. All right, they chose him over Janoris Jenkins, and then he turns in a fairly decent year last year, but no way near the kind of year that you pay a shutdown corner in this league, a top corner in this league, and that's what they paid him. So I can understand the Rams being hesitant to pay him when they're not seeing, you know, the fruit of that. And so they're saying, okay, you know what? One more year, we'll pay you like a top corner in the league. Go out there and show us you're a top corner in the league, and then we'll pay you. I can see the Rams' perspective on that. You know, I just don't. If you're just looking at it from the player's point of view, you know, I can see some hesitation there as well. But on the same token, this is a league; it's a business. And if you say, I just don't think that you could say, "Well, hey, the bridges are burned." Money talks.
Yeah, money definitely talks. But you know, would you want to risk your relationship with Aaron Donald to save your relationship with Tremaine Johnson? I don't think it's worth it at that level.
Well, the Rams are slated to have good, you know, pretty good salary cap space in the offseason this year. They're going to be fine. I was just wondering if perhaps they're waiting to see how he does this year to see, you know, to make sure they don't overpay, underpay either player.
I don't think you can overpay Aaron Donald.
Well, no, I don't think you can either. I'm just trying to pull stuff out of my rear right now to understand why on earth they're not paying Donald. I'm just trying to think of something, you know.
Yeah.
And it I'm trying to rationalize anything to try to comprehend how they haven't paid this man.
Yeah, when you have a guy that, you know, first three seasons, rookie of the year and Pro Bowl first year, last two, first year All-Pro, I'm pretty sure 2015, I think, he was runner-up for Defensive Player of the Year. Even last year, he was in the mix. You got to pay this man. He's an elite player. You got to pay your elite guys. And I think it's obviously a different sport, but I think one benefit of the NBA is what they have the max contracts where, you know, if you have an elite level player, he can only make this amount of money, and you have to give him that amount of money. So if in a sense, we should be maxing out Aaron Donald, do as much money as we could possibly pay him.
I mean, you're essentially, you know, going to go ahead and pay him to be the face of your franchise. And he's a good investment. I mean, looking back through his career, he has a very light injury history. He is great for the city of Los Angeles. You know, he doesn't get in trouble. He's fun to watch. He dominates a game. This is you're looking back to the kind of defensive lineman that was prominent in the fearsome foursome era. You know, so to me, it just makes sense. Pay the man so the man will play for you. And, you know, especially now, you know, the depth of the Rams defensive line has gone from a strength to what looks to be in a lot of cases a weakness. And that needs to change.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So shall we move on to the fantasy side of things on the football perspective? So I say we just get into it. We talk about all the players. And while we're talking about Donald, I think we could talk about the defense. With Wade Phillips in the mix, I think that this fantasy defense is going to be a little bit of a sleeper, depending on how high people rank them. I would definitely take them as a starting level defense. But I just want to remind our listeners that if you're playing fantasy football, don't draft a defense before the 13th or 14th round, no matter how good you think they are. There's going to be defenses like the Rams waiting for you at the end.
I think especially this year, too, because you don't really know what you're going to get with the Rams.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if you wait to draft a defense in, say, the 14th round, best case, you got to start in defense for the rest of the year. Worst case, you switch defenses every week. Either one normally works. So looking at some of the other players on the Rams, and we'll start with Todd Gurley. If you want to check it out on Rams Talk, I did a piece on Todd Gurley looking at his fantasy value. I think the big thing, Todd Gurley has a lot of pros and cons. The pros are that, you know, he was an elite prospect coming out of college. He lived up to the hype his rookie year. Since then, not so much. And the one big question mark on Gurley is that he's only ran for 100 yards once in his last 24 games. But on Gurley, we talked about him a lot last week. I don't want to get too in deep onto him. I think he's a good pick in the late second, and if he falls to the third, he's definitely a guy you want to target because he has pretty high upside, I'd say. He's in a good system. He's got good guys around him, got a better line. Last season, he seemed kind of, you know, decommitted once he realized the holes weren't opening up. You know, that's somewhat of a red flag, but this year, I think an improved line and improved system, I have high expectations for Gurley.
Even after last year, you know, even after all the issues he had.
Yeah, well, I think last year the problem was if you drafted him, you took him in the top five or six. This year, you're taking a guy who's only a year removed from being in that top five conversation, and now you're more than likely going to get him, you know, in the end of the late teens, early 20s, around that area. I just think he's so talented, and I think, especially if you have another running back or you already have your elite player, I can definitely see him getting back to an elite level. You know, those couple of games his rookie years, he looked frightening. You know, he didn't look like a fluke. I would still bank on it not being a fluke, but this is definitely a make or break year for him.
Make or break?
Yeah. Well,
you know, tell me this. What about that offensive line makes you so confident about Todd Gurley this year?
Well, I think just bringing in Whitworth, you replace Greg Robinson, a pretty bad player, I think we can agree on, and you replace him with, you know, an all-pro defensive tackle. You bring in a new system. You bring in a solid offensive line coach. Replace Tim Barnes with John Sullivan. Not that he's, you know, world-class, but he's better than Tim Barnes. You got Havenstein will continue to improve, hopefully. I know he had a little bit of a setback last year, but, you know, the sophomore slump is real in the NFL. I think he'll bounce back. I think the holes are not as big as they were last year, and I think he'll benefit from the system. McVay is normally pass heavy, and I think that, you know, assuming Goff has a decent year, they'll have to respect the pass. You know, if you watched them last year, there was absolutely no respect for the pass game in any of their games.
Well, it's a middle school offense.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. You know, if the defense can just be like, if we don't let 30 move, then we're going to win the game. And they did it. I mean, we had a game where the defense was so focused on Gurley that Case Keenum threw 19 straight completions, and we still didn't win the game. You know, it was not a respected pass offense at all. And I think, you know, assuming it looks okay this year, assuming Goff can get the ball past the line of scrimmage, you know, they're going to have to respect the pass a little bit more, and that'll definitely open things up for Gurley. And I think with Gurley, too, I think he'll be involved a little more in the pass game, especially with, you know, Lance Dunbar unfortunately suffering an injury. And I, even if he's healthy, I think that Ty Gurley, they should try and make him a three-down back. You think so? Because, you know, last year whenever Benny Cunningham would switch into the game, unless at the start of the drive, you'd be like, well, they're passing. And then you'd shift accordingly.
Well, I would like to see him and into the, you know, coming out of the backfield much more than what we see now or what we have seen. And it looks like that's what they're working on in training camp, is a lot of stuff out of the backfield, get him more involved in the offense. But also, we have more of the emergence of Malcolm Brown as a number two back, who's not really a pass receiver. He's more of a banger. So I guess, you know, those are things to consider as well. The Rams don't really know how much of a feature they really want him to be. And it makes it a little bit harder to pick up Gurley in a fantasy draft, knowing that you don't even know how much they want to feature Todd Gurley.
Yeah, I think he's going to be featured heavily. I think the volume is going to be there because, you know, we mentioned Malcolm Brown. I just, you know, I can't see him taking over. Even Benny Cunningham last year, who was a pretty solid player, Gurley still got the bulk of the work. Cunningham will get a drive or two here and there in the passing backs or passing downs. But, you know, especially, I think he's easily going to be the early down back, and I just can't really see a world where he's not.
I still can't believe they let Benny Cunningham go.
Yeah. I like Benny a lot.
All right, who else we have on your list for fantasy this year?
Well, let's talk about receivers. It's an interesting group of guys. Tavon Austin, Robert Woods, and Cooper Kupp are going to be the ones that have fantasy value. But it's kind of hard to make a case for drafting any of them at the beginning of the year. I think Woods in a deeper PPR league has value because I think coming out of the gate, he'll probably be the guy that sees the most targets. I think Tavon Austin, I have him in a dynasty league. I kept him, but I don't love it. I think with him, he's worth taking near the end of the draft if he's there, just because, you know, if McVay finds a way to use him, he's going to be dangerous. He is a very good football player. Hasn't proven that he's a very good receiver yet, though. And then Cooper Kupp is kind of the wild card. He could easily slide in and become the top receiver on the Rams, but unless you're in love with this guy, you're probably not going to have to draft him. In a rookie draft dynasty league style, I'd say, you know, maybe take him in the second round. I think he'd have decent value there, but in a regular league, I just can't see him being drafted unless it's by Rams fans. You think any of these guys, you know, who do you think is going to be the one most likely to break out?
Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp, and I don't think he's even close. I think just, you know, coming in the league where they are, Jared Goff in second year, which really to me is more of a rookie year because, yeah, I just think that last year was a wash. You know, the person, he's going to get bond with the people who prove themselves in practice, who work hard, who run good routes, have good hands. That's Cooper Kupp. And so I'm expecting a lot out of him, just as kind of like, you know, even a safety valve as a receiver. He's going to be there. He's going to be dependable. He's going to catch the football. Well, you know, that's just how I view it with him.
Yeah, and, you know, if you look at the Redskins last year under McVay, the amount of fantasy value they had in the passing game was, like, remarkable. Garcon and Jackson both went for 1,000 yards. Jameson Crowder was near it. He was a pretty big beast for me when I had him last year. He scored a lot of touchdowns. And then the tight ends, even with Jordan Reed being injured, Vernon Davis was also getting the mix. So they ended up with five guys over 500 yards receiving. The Rams historically have been lucky to get one over 500 yards. Last year was the first time they had a 1,000-yard receiver since Torrey Holt in 07. You would like to see them do it again this year, and even if one of these guys doesn't go for 1,000 yards, I could see Austin Woods and Kupp all hitting the 700, 800-yard mark if everything goes well. For Tavon Austin, I think he's the X factor just because they got to figure out a way to get in the ball in open space.
Well, game. I mean, the Rams, I think the Rams had the right idea with him, getting him out on screens, getting him out on swing passes. The problem is they just, that's all they did. They didn't really mix plays well. If they mix their playbook well, if they utilize the other talented offensive players on the roster, then Tavon's going to be available on those screens, in the open field, off a swing pass, you know, off an angle. I mean, off a slant. And they're going, he will be there. But the Rams have to, they have to be versatile on offense. They have to provide the opportunities to get him the, get in the football.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, the potential was there. The idea is smart. Just get him the ball, put it in his hands, to run a screen pass. But if that's all you ever do, he's not going to produce.
No. And we've seen, you know, I think that McVay will try and use him a little bit, you know, not as much as he used DeSean Jackson as a deep threat, but a little bit like DeSean. We've seen him, you know, more so than last year, earlier in his career, he converted on a lot of just big fly patterns, and that's also a strength of his game because he's so quick. And I think I could really see him having a good year. It's just, you know, like you said, you have to give him more things than just giving him screen passes because defenses are going to be ready for it. If you're paying this guy this money, you need to give him a role that warrants getting all that money. And so, moving on to tight ends. Like I said, McVay, he used Jordan Reed heavily in his time in Washington. He's going to be trying to find a replacement. Right now, the Rams have Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett. I'd avoid Higbee in fantasy. I don't think that his position right now warrants being drafted, and I think that Everett, if he's not starting at the beginning of the year, he'll be starting by the end of the year. He's, in a way, he's a little similar to Jordan Reed prospect-wise. He's a bit raw. He's a bit inexperienced. Jordan Reed didn't play tight end until college. He was a quarterback in Connecticut. You know, this guy has potential. They made him their first pick in the draft for a reason this year. I'm not sure how quickly he'll pick it up, but he's a guy you want to keep on your eye on the waiver watch. And, you know, in rookie draft leagues, I would take him fairly high.
It's the word out of camp already is that he's doing well and that he's progressing, finding that offense. He's building a relationship with Jared Goff. I have to agree. Keep an eye on Everett. You know, he will probably be the tight end that emerges here real quick.
Yeah, I'm with you. He's a good talent, and tight end is normally a shallow position. You're going to want to keep your guy on the guys with breakout potential. And, you know, in terms of rookie tight ends, O.J. Howard is definitely going to be the one that gets more hype. He's going to be overdrafted, I'd say, in a couple leagues. Everett, he'll probably fly under the radar a little bit just because he's on a historically bad passing offense and, you know, he was not that big name of a prospect. You know, you could easily get your hands on him late in the draft. I'm probably going to be keeping my eye on him in the waiver wire unless the news out of camp continues to be super positive, and then you want to think about him. And, all right, the last player that we haven't talked about yet, obviously, is Jared Goff. So, Jared Goff is interesting because, like you said, there's nothing you could take out of his rookie year. You know, it was middle school offense. The line was bad. The running game couldn't get going. And, you know, we had a lot of drop passes last year. The team was just a mess, coaching changes, the whole nine yards. So he's coming in fresh this year. Word out of camp is that he's confident. He's embracing the leadership role. And, you know, similar to Todd Gurley, he was drafted that high for a reason. In this system, you got to think that he might have a breakout year this year. Does that mean you should draft him in, like, the eighth round, make him a starting quarterback? No, but if you get an established quarterback, or if you have somebody you really like, taking Goff as your backup in the late rounds, I don't think it's a bad move. I think he has high upside, and you know, you're not going to be overdrafting him. He's not going to be going that high. I think he's got low risk.
Especially in the keeper league.
Yeah.
Because stashing for next year, the year beyond that, that's not a bad idea at all. Yeah, I don't, you know, I think the one thing we're fortunate with when watching the Rams is it's pretty clear that Sean McVay can, he can develop a quarterback. I watched Kirk Cousins a lot. I'm a Big Ten guy. I watched Kirk Cousins a lot. When he was in college, he was solid college quarterback, not great, made a lot of mistakes. And look what he's become. I think that's indicative of how good Sean McVay is at his job. Keep an eye on this guy. You know, Goff came out of college with a lot of the same respect. Goff, in his draft year, was only drafted as high as he was because it was a weak quarterback class. In the other year, he's a second or third rounder, in my view. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. You know, so all of a sudden, you have a weak quarterback class. You need a quarterback. You take him. And I honestly believe that McVay is the one that can develop him. I don't think there's anybody else in the league who will do a solid job. So here we go.
You think he could be a third-round pick in other drafts? I agree that he was the first pick because it was weak, but I'd still say he's late first, early second in a normal draft just because of how much people value quarterbacks.
You know what? I'm going to stand by it, second or third round.
Damn.
That draft was so weak in quarterback. Matter of fact, when was the last time we really had a very, very strong quarterback?
Well, Jameis Mariota.
I mean, and Mariota's questionable still. So.
Yeah, but those were two hot prospects. And if we're thinking before that, it would have probably been Luck RG3. And was Wilson that year too? Not that he counts in prospect-wise.
Nobody really expected Wilson to come out there and do it again. He just wasn't. He put up numbers in Cal's offense that was meant for that. You know, he was a system guy, and he didn't show anything. You know, so strong that you consider him a can't miss. You know, he was. I remember early on in the whole scouting process, they had him as a second, third round guy, at the very, very high, a late first rounder, and so for me, Goff is, I think the potential is there. I think that, you know, he was still raw. Don't forget, he didn't start at Cal for very long, you know, and maybe he can. Maybe he's much more than what we saw then. But my real point is, he's not can't miss. He needs to be developed. I don't believe that he just was a guy who could, you know, step on the field and win 10 games.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I think the only can't-miss quarterback of the past, you know, 3 years is probably Winston. You know, Mariota, he's definitely a little questionable. But, yeah, even, you know, we disagree where he would fall, but I think we're definitely on the same page that, you know, if there was a better quarterback, he wouldn't be going number one. And I think they'd be more, you know, Andy Dalton level picks in a different year, although he was way more NFL ready. But yeah, moving on. I know you wanted to talk about training camp first impressions, so let's hear what you've got so far.
It's concerning injuries for me. That's what I'm seeing with camp. I'm seeing already we're seeing this turn last year. The team was fairly healthy throughout much of the year. Now we're seeing a bunch of injuries that are blowing things up. Word on Goff is that he's still floating some passes, but he looks confident. We're seeing, you know, you mentioned this, Lewis Trinkapasat, rookie Tanzel Smart, getting longer looks of the first team, Ethan Westbrook as well. So it's a little bit of nervousness now with the injuries moving in just this first week of camp. First impressions is there's a lot of work to do with this team. And the injuries aren't helping matters at all.
Yeah, and like we talked about, Aaron Donald's just being out isn't helping injuries. But, yeah, I think I think there's concerns, but I think there's also promise and all the stuff we talked about with Goff. I feel a little more it's weird because my expectations are lower than last year, but I'm also, you know, more content with where the team is, if that makes sense.
I think it makes sense. I you know, last year I had a bad feeling going into the season. That's why I picked them to finish lower than most of our members of our staff did. This year, I feel like the organization as a whole, the team itself as a whole, is more stabilized. I feel like it's going to be, you know, an uphill move from this point forward. I just want to see them continue that stability, move in the direction where we know they're going to be competitive in the future.
Yeah, I'm with you. And now, honestly, I forgot about this. I watched All or Nothing. I just got to the episode where they reached the bye week. And I forgot we were in like every game in the first half of the year, outside of the debacle on the opener. But you know, we blew the Buffalo game, we blew the Detroit game, we blew the Giant game. It's just kind of crazy to think that team could have been like 5-2, and it wouldn't be unreasonable. So I think just that there's a lot of potential there, and I think this team has more potential than they had last year, even if the expectations are a little loftier. Hey, and we're not complaining about our coach anymore. Maybe that's why I feel better.
Well, that's a great point. Sean McVay just brings a freshness to this team. You know, hearing players say that this is the best staff they've ever been a part of, that's encouraging to me. You know, because, I mean, as much as we complained about Jeff Fisher's staff last year, that was a very experienced staff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it blew my mind, especially on the offensive line, how the coaching staff there, which was supposed to be among the best, had a great reputation, failed to develop that offensive line. And all of a sudden now you hear any news of this, hey, this is the best staff I've been a part of. Well, why is it the best staff you've been a part of? I think they bring energy. I think they bring a winning attitude. I don't think Jeff Fisher necessarily brought a winning attitude. I thought he brought an attitude, you know, that said, we will be better, but, you know, we'll make excuses too. Because that's what he did. He made a lot of excuses.
Yeah. The Jeff Fisher thing is weird because, you know, I wrote a piece and said that his tenure was good for us, which I stand by because we were garbage before he got here, and now we're like, all right. But you bring in such an experienced coach, and, you know, probably one of the most experienced coaches in the league, I'd say, and you're like bottom five in penalties every single year. You know, that's what blew my mind the most about the Jeff Fisher era, is that we were just so undisciplined for his entire time. And, you know, I think that if he was ever able to hire a competent offensive coordinator, then, you know, maybe he'd still be here. Maybe we would have made the playoffs one of those years. I don't know. But it also speaks to his incompetence that he hired three offensive coordinators and none of them were good.
Well, don't forget, he still called the plays.
Did he? You know, he was an offensive coach?
Well, no one ever said he was an offensive coach. I'm just saying he was still calling plays.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of those things where you had Jeff Fisher running an 80s offense in 2016, 2015, 2014. You know, this isn't the same kind of thing. McVay's different. He's a thinker. He's seeing, you know, how to maximize the role of the tight end. Look what he did with the tight ends in Washington. Look what he did with the receivers. Look what he did with the running back out of the backfield. I just think that he's somebody who thinks outside the box. The players see it. They appreciate it.
Yeah. And, you know, during that fantasy segment, we weren't crazy high on a lot of guys, but there's a lot more guys to be discussed than there normally is, which means this offense has more talent and more potential than it has in a while. You know, Jared Goff, he's got potential. He's got a lot of potential. Gurley obviously has a lot of potential. All three of those receivers we named, Gerald Everett, even like Josh Reynolds, you know, Farrell Cooper, he's still around. There's guys that have a lot of breakout potential, and it'll be fun to watch. You know, last year was just Kenny Britt, Tavon, and the scraps. We were in on the Brian Quick project way too long. You know, we had a lot of unfortunate injuries and such to guys like Stem and Bailey and all that. There's upside here. I'm excited to see what happens, and I like our coach now. I think we're heading in the right direction, hopefully.
Well, some of the smartest things that he did. So he went out and got Wade Phillips as defensive coordinator. You know, he made moves to bring in the right coaching staff behind him, so they can, you know, in a lot of ways, he can grow as a coach. He can grow as, you know, he didn't just come in as this know-it-all and put a weak staff behind him. He went and got best staff that was out there. And so it's encouraging. It's encouraging to see that move. It's also encouraging to see that he's bringing that energy every day. You know, we don't have a coach who's in a coma anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to fantasy sports, when it comes to, you know, the other aspects of this team, I just expect to see, you know, improvement. I'm going to say this flat out. Todd Gurley will run for at least 1,100 yards this year. Okay? We're going to have, I'm telling you, two receivers, either a tight end and a wide receiver, or two receivers that are going to be above 1,000 yards.
Whoa!
I'm calling it.
That's bold.
Look, man, it's not that bold. It's not
that bold. We've had one 1,000-yard receiver in the past 10 years.
But let's think of it this way. Okay, in this league, 1,000 yards is the minimum, you know, for a solid receiving year. Okay, not even a good receiving year, just a solid receiving year. Okay, I'm saying 2,000 yarders. I'm not calling out there and saying we're going to have a 1,600-yard receiver. I'm not saying we're going to have a 1,400-yard receiver. But I'm saying they're going to move the ball around. They're going to see an improved offense. Will they score 400 points this year? No. Will they score 350? Probably not. Will they average 20 points a game? I think they will, which is 320.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a start. And I think we're going to see this movement upwards now. You know, the question is, will the defense, you know, which has seen some hits in the last couple years of players moving around, be able to continue to be as good as it has been and improve under Wade Phillips?
Yeah, and, you know, I'd be shocked if the defense doesn't improve. I'm pro Greg Williams. I think he's a good defensive coordinator. I think he's a great hire for Cleveland, but Wade Phillips is world class. He's been the best in the league for a while now. You know, ever since he left the Cowboys head coaching job, he made that Houston defense great. He made that Denver defense, you know, insane. You know, carried Peyton Manning to a Super Bowl. And now he's here. We talked about the lack of depth, but you give Wade Phillips guys that are as talented as Aaron Donald, you know, Robert Quinn, if he's healthy, Alec Ogletree, you know, he'll find a great use for Mark Barron, Tremaine Johnson, Mo Alexander. You know, those are six very good players. And it's not like the rest of our starting lineup is slacks. You know, Joyner's been good. He brought over Craven Webster. I just cannot see a world where the defense doesn't work. And I know a lot of these guys have been playing in a 4-3, but Donald and Quinn, they're guys that you can plug into any system and they'll be fine. And I'd even mention Connor Bowen.
I'm not even worried about the system. These guys are professionals.
Yeah.
If you can't adjust to a new system, you don't belong in this league. Okay, I'm not even remotely worried about that.
Well, we have seen that not work, though. Look at what happened to Rex Ryan in Buffalo.
Well, Rex Ryan, for as much as he talks, he's not a defensive coach as good as. I mean, he is a defensive coach, but he's nowhere near what Wade Phillips is as a coach.
That's fair.
I mean, let's just be real about that. You know, Rex is not Buddy in terms of defensive coaching. I mean, I just view it as this is a team that, you know, has one of the best defensive coaches in the league, hands down. There's no questions or concerns on my part about it.
Yeah. It's hard to be concerned with, you know, his talent and the defense's talent. And, you know, the fate of this team, I think, will rest on the offense. Unless they don't pay Aaron Donald, and then we got all kinds of problems.
Yeah, you don't pay Aaron Donald, then you're looking at a, you know, you're looking at a major, major problem when other contracts come up.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. That's not even. I can't imagine. Imagine how this looks to the other players on that team.
Yeah, it's like, you know, if he can't get paid, like, am I going to get paid? It's like, yeah, it's mind-blowing.
So, all right. I think that about does it. We've pretty much beat every horse today.
Yeah.
Steve's going on vacation, so we don't know when our next edition will be. We're looking out for Norm's call with Martin and with Johnny as they talk about training camp, their expectations as well. And soon, very soon, we'll have our big round table episode where everybody gets on board and talks about where they think this team will go in 2017.
Yeah, and the Rams will be back in action in less than 2 weeks.
Can we really say it's time for football, folks?
Hey, man.
I'm Derek C. Apollo. This is Steve Ribeiro. Peace
talk
out.
Talk to you guys soon.